How many members does it take for a congregation to grow? Well, you got a mouth. One mouth can talk to one person, another person, right? So one thing that I tell my students is, if you will set, a lot of them go to preach in little churches because they're young, they're just out of school. So I'll tell them, when you go to this little congregation that hasn't grown in maybe a long time, maybe they've dwindled, the community might have moved away from them because they're out in the country. There are no churches that can't grow. If you will have Bible studies, it will grow. But here's what I tell them. If you will set yourself on fire, the community will come to see you burn. Now, what that means is, if your heart is on fire for God, people are going to take note of that. Your congregation, how does fire spread? One person to one tree to another tree, one acre to another acre, same thing in the church. So, you don't have to be a preacher to set yourself on fire for the gospel. You can. I was preaching out in Texas. I'm going back there next year, in fact. There was a lady there. I think that she came without her husband, but she was inviting people. And it was a little church. They probably had about 30 members, something like that. And she said, okay, tomorrow night, I'm bringing my friends. What are you going to preach on? So I told her. And sure enough, she brought 12 people. She had this little building, two rows completely full, nobody but her friends. Her and her friends. You know, one person can make a difference. So what we're going to talk about tonight are these three. I don't know if you can see this. This is the way I teach in school. I put the notes, my notes on the screen, and then they can write them down. It's easier when you have, they don't have to say, I missed that. Would you go back and repeat yourself a lot? I don't know how good your eyes are. But if you can see that, then you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you can't, well, there's empty pews up here. You may feel free to come up here. Or if you want to take pictures of it, you may. Or you could take a picture of my iPad after the service, and I'll be happy for you to do that. Anything that you want. But here, this is Romans chapter 12, where we were yesterday, for those who were here in our services. And remember, we were studying about, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the gospel. That's setting yourself on fire. That's being changed by the gospel. And tomorrow night, if we have time, we're going to talk about these seven roles that are in every church that you can pick from the list of what you want to do in church. Now, don't take a picture of that one yet, because that's tomorrow night. But it'll be all right. I'll give it to you later. But here, what we're going to do tonight is just go through the seven levels of involvement to start. Now, this is true of your congregation. It's true of my congregation. It's true of every congregation. You have different levels of involvement in the congregation. Now, you're here for the second lesson of a series on a Monday night. I guess that you're going to be, my guess is you're going to be pretty far down this list. But what the challenge for each of us is to find ourselves as we go through the list and then move up one level. Move up one level. So get out of my comfort zone and do more than I've done before. So let's go through the list. The baseline is those who come only for the AM services. There were some people here yesterday, I don't remember their faces or names, that are not back, that weren't back for last night, they're not back tonight. I used to be honest, a little critical of that. But I've changed my tune a little bit. I am glad that they're coming, right? I'm glad that they have an interest in the gospel. And a lot of people didn't show up yesterday morning, right? That used to come or maybe have never come. I'm glad they're coming. And that's the way to gain faith and to hear the gospel preached. So I'm happy about that. They're here. I'm wanting them to move up a level, just like all of us need to move up a level. level. Now, the second level of involvement in local churches is all the services. They come for the Bible class Sunday morning, Sunday a.m. They come back for Sunday night. They're here on Wednesday night. That's a group of in a congregation. Usually it's at least 50% of the members. Sometimes it's upward towards 70%. In some congregations I've been in, it's closer to 95%, but that's usually a small church and everybody's related. And they're a real strong-knit church. Or they split off of a weak congregation that was going into false doctrine and the strong members left. Well, they all attend all the services because the ones that weren't as strong didn't go with them. All right, so that's all services. That's good. If you're in the AM-only services, then move up a level and you'll be amazed at how much you'll learn and how much more you'll get out of being more involved in the public services of the church. Now, level three is each one of these is more than the one before. So AM services, of course, are included in all services. Now, level three, attending all services plus being a worship leader and social activities. That is, you're here, but if someone asks you to lead a prayer, if you're a brother, you'll say, I'll do that. Take a turn serving on the Lord's Supper table. You're willing to lead in worship. And that's an honor to be asked, and it's an honor to, it's good that you take it. And social activities. That means that if the church is having an ice cream get-together, I'll be there. If it's a fellowship meal, if we're going to go to such and such place and pick apples, you know, as a singer group, then I'll go there. If we're going to go to Six Flags as a youth group, count me in. My kids will go. I'll be a chaperone. So that's the third level, worship leader and social activities. Those are valuable. We talk about having the wrong kind of friends, and that can be negative, 1 Corinthians 15:33. So having good friends that you do things with is a positive thing, although it's not the primary work of the church. Number four is all of that plus work activities. So if you're having gospel meeting and sometimes the elders will get up or the men will get up and say, we need to have a work day and get everything spruced up. And so you'll come up here at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, bring your tools, and you'll weed eat or you'll paint or you'll work in the kitchen and get everything organized and clean and work activities. Or maybe the church is starting a visitation program. We're going to get out and visit our widows and orphans. We're going to check on those that are older that may need some assistance. We're going to go follow up with our visitors and invite them back. So they say, I'll do that. I'll help. I'm a worker in the church. That's good. All right, the next one is all of that plus leadership or teacher. Leadership, if the church is needing to appoint elders or deacons and you're deemed to be qualified for that, someone comes to you and says, we're thinking about appointing some deacons, for instance, would you be willing to take on that responsibility? And you say, if the church needs me to do work, I'm willing. I'll dedicate time. I'll be willing to do that. Or sisters in Christ, maybe someone comes and says, we need a teacher for the third grade. Would you be willing to teach a quarter? And you say, well, I haven't done it in a while, but I'll be glad to teach if you need me. So that's another level. A level after that is all of that plus organized evangelism. This is an evangelism seminar. So how is the church going to grow? The church is going to have evangelism in order to grow. Now, we're about to talk about what evangelism is. And what you just thought about, how you thought of that word I just used, might not be the definition of evangelism. We're going to see that it's much broader than we think of. But organized evangelism would be things like, okay, we're going to go out and knock doors this Saturday before our gospel meeting and pass out flyers, or we're going to go around in the community like we were talking about last hour and see who needs some help and introduce ourselves ourselves to them. It might be grading Bible correspondence courses. We were just talking about that in the break. It could be building a web page for someone to come and to answer Bible questions. There's a lot of different ways that we could be involved in organized evangelism. What that means is somebody else is doing the thinking, somebody else is putting it together, and they announce it, and we say, I'll do it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Now, the highest level of involvement in the church is all of those plus unorganized evangelism. What does that mean? That means nobody said anything. I just do it. I invite people to come with me to the services. I ask if they'd like to talk about the Bible. I set up an opportunity for the preacher or an elder or someone to come over and have a Bible study with my neighbors. Unorganized evangelism. It's just who I am, not something that I go and do somewhere. It's just something that comes to me. Interestingly, there is go evangelism and there is as you go evangelism. Go evangelism is Mark 16, 6, 15 and 16. We've talked about that. That's where you go on a mission trip or you deliberately drive across town to talk to somebody about the gospel. As you go evangelism is found in Matthew 10, 8, which uses that phrase, which is unorganized evangelism. It's just as we go about our daily activities, we run into people and we talk to them. We offer an opportunity. It is just organic. It's not something that's planned. Both of them are good. Both of them are important. Sometimes I use this illustration. If there is a Christian who gets down beside his bed or her bed and asks God, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say, as we sometimes sing. Now, I might not be saying this right, but I'm pretty sure this is right. That prayer goes to the top of the list of God's answered prayers. Because what is God's heart all about? But teaching about his son to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't follow him, has not obeyed the gospel. Now, so if you could picture this, if you're a visual person, you got a Christian over on this side of town who just prayed, lead me to some soul today. And there's a person on the other side of the town that's got a Bible open, they're reading and they're confused. And I know the Lord does not hear a sinner's prayer, but does the Lord know when a sinner prays? Yeah. So if that sinner says, God, I sure wish I understood your word better. Help me. So you got two people in the same town. One's asking to teach, other's asking to be taught. Here's the question. Can God arrange a meeting between those two? I believe in the providence of God. I'm sure you do too. The Bible teaches it. If you ask me how it works every time, I don't know. But I do know that God is in control of his world and providence is working behind the curtain, not on stage where everybody can see. But if I prayed that prayer and I go out through my day, what am I looking for? Everybody I see, is this the one God sent me? Is this somebody that's interested? And so I begin to talk and question, and I may very well find someone that wants the gospel. So there you have unorganized evangelism. There's an illustration of it. Now we're going to move into 10 levels of evangelism. This is where if you thought when I used the word evangelism that I meant sitting down across the kitchen table with an open Bible and a sinner with an open Bible and answering questions, that's not what I meant. It's got to get to that. Somebody in the church has got to be doing that, hopefully more than one. But there are many steps to evangelism before you get to that. We have made evangelism too hard. We've made it for the professionals. I haven't been to preacher school. I couldn't do that. Well, I'm just a member. I'm not an evangelist. Well, the elders take care of that for us. That's why we hired the preacher. X, X, X. All that I just said, don't believe it. In Acts 8, the preacher stayed home and the members went out everywhere spreading the word. 8:4 beginning. Preachers should be involved in evangelism, of course, but all of us can be. So, how can I be? Let's go down a list of 10. And you can pick out where you are or what you would be willing to do. You can start at one level and then you can get good at that and move to the next one. You don't even have to start at the first level. You can start somewhere in the middle. But let's describe what these things are. And if you've got a membership that all has picked out one of these and does it, you're going to have spiritual growth. They're going to grow themselves, but they're also going to lead others to Christ. So let's go through this and see if evangelism is really just for the professionals or if it's really for all of us. All right, number one is greeter. Romans 15, 7, Romans 16, 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. You say, well, that's nothing, just greeting people. Have you ever been to a church maybe on vacation and you went in and nobody spoke to you? How'd that make you feel? I remember we were on a trip, family trip. It was a Wednesday night. I won't tell you where this was. But we walked in right about the time it started. And I went up and shook the hand of a guy I think was the greeter. And it was about time it starts. Everybody's making their way in. So I didn't feel too bad. I sat down. We sat down on a row. The guy had a good Bible lesson. There was a break after he taught the class when the little kids were all coming back in. We sat there about five rows up. There were a lot of people behind us, some people in front of us. You know how many people came over and spoke to us? You could count them on one hand, but you don't need any fingers. Nobody did. When it was over, we were walking out, and I think if I hadn't made another guy speak to me, nobody would have spoken to me on the way out. You know how I felt? Like, what's wrong with me? They did not know I was a gospel preacher. They didn't know me from whoever. I could have been from down the street. You think if I had been from down the street, I would have been back Sunday to that church? So I'll ask this question. Is greeting important in a church? It should start in the parking lot. If you see somebody getting out of a car you don't know, you make a beeline over there and introduce yourself. Don't be intrusive with 20 questions. Don't make them feel uncomfortable, but make them feel welcome. Glad you're here today. My name is. You can sit with me if you want to, if you don't have friends here already. Put yourself in their place. When you come in, point out where the bathrooms are, where the kids' classes are if they have kids. Make them feel welcome. That's a greeter. Number two is a prayer. That's not prayer, that's prayer. That's the person praying. Now, what that means is not just I'm going to say prayers during the week. What it means is I've got a list of people who are prospects for conversion that I pray for every day. You might even take David's prayer frequency morning, noon, and night. You can set up your clock. What's this thing in my pocket? Phone. By this time of day, my brain's shutting down. So, oh, I did think of that scripture, by the way, that I forgot last hour. Although I don't know where it is, but it says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much produce comes from the strength of the ox. Something in the back of my head is saying Proverbs 14, but it might not be that. But what that means is, if you got people, you got problems. That's okay. If you're a growing church, you want those kind of people problems. I stopped and visited a church, good, sound church. I don't guess I'll tell you where it was. It was in Tennessee somewhere, but I won't tell you where. And I went in. I had preached a meeting in Virginia. I was on the way back through, And Sunday morning went in for Bible class. You know, I went in and the Bible class was full, and they had knocked out a wall in the back of their auditorium. They had about 400 members. They had knocked out a wall and set up chairs. That's where I sat, in a chair. And when I pulled up in the parking lot, I noticed that they had bulldozed the section over across from them. They were adding parking. You know, that's trouble, knocking out walls, paying for a bulldozer to make. That's the kind of problems you want to have, right? Those are problems, but they're good. So have a list of people that you pray for on a regular basis. Keep that list, because it's a whole lot of fun to mark one off the list. And God may give you an opportunity to teach one of those on your list. And you can ask others, do you have anybody you're studying with or that you want to become a Christian? Would you want me to pray for anybody? And I guarantee you'll have more names than you can pray if you keep asking that. So maybe start with 10. 10 people you pray for. That's Romans 10, 1 through 4. Number 3 is giver. I'm not talking about you put money in the plate on Sunday. Everybody does that as a part of worship. I'm talking about you're giving extra for the gospel to go somewhere in the world. Some people don't have much money and they're struggling to get by. Other people have done well, or God has blessed them. They have discretionary money. And what am I going to do with it? Well, when a missionary comes in, or a mission point that you're supporting, and the preacher comes down, maybe preaches for you, and you're impressed with them, maybe you give him one of those $100 handshakes or $1,000 handshakes, or maybe you ask him, if somebody wanted to send you some support, where would they need to send that? And then don't tell anybody. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Because you're not in it for the glory. You're in it for the good of the kingdom. And if you want to be anonymous, more anonymous, or a different kind of anonymous than that, you can go through your elders and just take one of them aside and say, brother, I really want to support a little more. I'm going to give extra. And I don't want anybody to know it. Let the church send the check and get the credit for it. That's a giver. Number 4, a reporter. Now, these next 4, I think, are the heart of evangelism in a local church. What is a reporter? A reporter, Acts 2:47, they had favor with all the people, and the Lord had the church such as should be saved or were being saved. What a reporter does is talk positively about the church during the week. This is so easy and it's so effective. So what does a reporter do? He goes to work, standing around the break room. He said, you know, I'm excited about our congregation is collecting coats for school children this fall. We're going to have a giveaway day. That's just, I'm excited about that. My kids are excited. You just talk about what the church is doing. You know, we had a missionary yesterday at our congregation. I was so impressed with that guy. He spent, you know, you just talk positive about the church. You might say, you know, you're talking to your mom on the phone. She lives in another state. She's not a member of the church. And you just talk about the church members. Well, Sister So-and-so at church is so sweet to me. You know, she came up and hugged me Sunday and said, I look, my dress was so pretty, and she's just the sweetest thing. I want you to meet her one day. Well, you can think of a million positive things to say about the church to people that aren't members. Just report. And you're not trying to convert anybody. You're just talking positive about the church. But if you talk to your mother on the phone, like I just said, over 6 months, and you've talked about this sister so much, and you talked about this, and you talked about your preacher. Man, he's the best preacher we've had, and I got so much out of his lessons. And when she comes in town to visit you, and you say, come on, Mom, go to church with me today. You know what she's going to say? I've been wanting to meet those people. She'll go. Reporter. The next one is sharer. Sharer. Reporters, Acts 2:47. Sharers, 1 Corinthians 3:6. I've planted Apollos, water God gave the increase. So sharing. Let's just stay with the mom idea here. Say that your preacher preaches on Sunday on Mother's Day a great lesson, and you're sitting there in the pew thinking, this is just my mom. This is, and you've got, you know, tear running down your face. You're like, and then you get home and say, Mom, he preached the best lesson today about mothers, and I just thought of you, and thank you for being such a great mom. I'm going to send you this link from our YouTube channel, and if you get a chance, I want you to listen to this because it makes me think of you. How many moms are going to listen to that sermon? 100%, right? Now, what's that going to do? She's now going to know what your preacher looks like, what he sounds like. She's probably going to like him because he said things that she appreciated, and she's going to be impressed with his knowledge of the Bible, with his kind heart, compassionate speech. I don't know what's going to come out of it, but you've broken the ice there just by sharing. Maybe you read, you know that little symbol at the top of websites, blogs, social media accounts? It's got the three little bitty circles that are connected with little lines. You know that, what that symbol is? Share button. That's a great evangelism tool right there. Let's say a lot of Christians are listening to sermons during the week, you know. Maybe you listen, well, man, this is a really good one. So-and-so needs to hear this. Now, it doesn't have to be anything controversial or that's trying to beat them over the head. It could be something, maybe especially early, that's a bridge builder. Something you'll think, they'll appreciate this. They'll agree with this. They'll like this. If you can build some bridges, then that gives you something to cross over whenever you get an opportunity to talk about something more serious. And the good thing about that is it's anonymous. They know who sent it to them, but you never know if they listened to it, and they know that. So they can delete it, you'll never know. Or they can listen all the way through one time or 10 times, but you've given them the opportunity with an endorsement to listen to this lesson, or to read this article, or to follow this website. You know, this. You say, I found this to be very helpful. Maybe it's a church website that has good Bible study tools. All right, the next one is a connector. Each one of these is getting a little bit better. A connector is someone who connects members of the church to members in the community. Because whenever somebody thinks about coming to visit a church, they want to think they're going to feel comfortable there. I mean, you feel that way, don't you? What's it like in that, you know? Is there anybody there I know? So, the more people they know in the church, the more likely that they're going to accept an invitation, and number two, they're going to feel comfortable when they come. Let me give you a way to do that. Let's say that you are building a deck on the back of your house, and you're almost done, and your skill saw dies. And you're like, oh man, I got three more boards to cut, and it'll be finished with this, and now my skill saw's. So you text your buddy, and you say, man, can I borrow your skill saw? I'm almost done. He said, yeah, it's in the garage. Come over and get it. So you go over and get it, and you come back. You finish the deck. You set his skill saw in your garage. And about a week or so later, you see that sitting there, and you think, he's going to think I kept his skill saw. I better get that back to him. But instead of just going over there, going in his garage or shop and putting the skill saw and leaving, texting him later, think like Christ would think. So you call up a member of the congregation, maybe an elder, maybe somebody has a really good personality and meets people well. Maybe he has something in common with your friend. So you say, what you doing? Not too much. You got time to make a visit? You say, yeah, I'm going to swing by and pick you up. That'd be all right? Sure, I'll be ready. So you go by and pick him up, and so what you're going to tell your buddy is true, you go by and check on a widow on the way over to give the skill saw back. So when you get there, you pull up in your buddy's yard, and he's out mowing grass, and you wave at him, and he pulls over there, knocks it out of gear, turns it off. What's up? He said, well, I brought your skill saw back. He said, well, okay. Well, just put it back in the shop there. And he said, let me introduce you to somebody. And your friend jumps out of the truck, walks around, shakes his hand, and you say, this is John. And then John works out at such and such. Really, my son works out there, your friend says. Before long, your gregarious buddy is stalking up a storm, and the only goal that you have for that encounter is when you leave, that guy says, I like that guy. That's all you want to do. Now he has another connection to the church. If you happen to be called on to go and serve on the Lord's table when your buddy comes, he's not going to have to sit there by himself. He knows somebody else in the church, right? And I probably would say not today if they asked me that day to serve on the table, unless they just had to have me so I could be back there. So, you know, you feel a little awkward if you sit by yourself. All right, the next one is an inviter. John 1:37, come and see. John 1:46, come and see. Just invite people to come. You know the best diffuser of bad reputation of the church? Somebody says, is it your church? The one that does that? Come and see. Because God's people make a really good impression when visitors come. You know, you have made a really good impression on me. Every church has a personality. And I'm in a lot of churches during the year, somewhere different every week pretty much. And sometimes more than one in a week. Every church has a personality. Every church has a personality. They're all good. But some are just make you feel really at home. You've done that. You've made me feel you've been very generous and thoughtful. So you've got something to build on here. But whenever somebody comes to visit, they need to leave and they say, that's the friendliest church I ever went to. That's your goal, the friendliest church. So an inviter, invite people to come and sit on your pew with you on Sunday. Initiator, what an initiator is, Acts 18:24-26, is someone who says to a friend, you know, my preacher does free Bible studies and he is the best Bible teacher I've ever seen. And I'm going to have some friends over to do a 6 weeks Bible study course with him. Would you be interested in that? Now, you better ask your preacher before you do that. But they're going to say yes. And so if she or he says, you know, I've been wanting to know more about the Bible, I think I'll sign up. You're the initiator. Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. Facilitator. Initiator. The next one is a teacher. Now we finally got at number 9 on the list. We finally got to the official evangelism stage, right? Somebody teach the course. Now I want to ask a question here. I've asked this in other churches. If you would be willing to teach a Bible study to a non-Christian, would you raise your hand? And I am asking you to do it this time. If you would be willing. Now, keep them up. All right. Now, if you didn't put your hand up, there's no shame in that. That's fine. But what I want to see is, I didn't count, but I think about 15 hands go up. But I will go out on a limb right now and say that between us, we don't have 15 Bible studies going right now. Did you notice who put their hands up? Well, if you're sitting in front, maybe you didn't see. But if you didn't put your hand up, but you saw someone put his hand up or her hand up, put them to work. Because you have friends that you don't feel comfortable teaching at this stage, and that's fine. But somebody else says, I'll do it. I'll be happy to do it. I would want to do it. Can you arrange a meeting between those two people? You see, we don't all have to be teachers. A lot of times the harder part is getting the person, not teaching the person. Especially when a preacher moves to a new community, everybody he knows is a Christian. So it's a lot easier if somebody else sets that up. Then the last one is a keeper. Now, we all ought to do this, but some people, they're just really good at it. If somebody is baptized into Christ, they're sitting in the pew. I saw this happen this last week I was over at Warner Robins. There was a baptism the first Friday that I was there. He came to the classes. I saw him Sunday and at fellowship meals and stuff. And I noticed that members, he's by himself. I noticed that every service and at every class and in every fellowship meal, there was somebody from that church sitting with him. That's the way to do it. That's the way. Nobody likes to be by themselves. Nobody. I mean, I'm comfortable with it. I eat a lot of meals in my mind. I'm comfortable. Some people are more like that. Other people are not. But most people, especially women, this is my observation, feel much more comfortable if they're sitting with somebody. So make sure, be a keeper. Because there aren't a lot of people that are going to do that for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks. If they sit by themselves, they're going to fall away. They're going to quit. If they don't make any friends in the church, they're going to quit. Take them out to eat. Invite them over. Find out what they're interested in. Be involved in their lives. That's just as important as teaching the Bible study that converts them is keeping them faithful after they're converted. You might not be capable of doing the first, but you might be very good at the second. All right, we're going to close with this one observation. That's 10. 10. That's a lot. Maybe you picked out some of those or one of those. You say, I'm going to work on that. I can do that. But as a congregation, wherever you're from, if your congregation will do three things, your congregation will grow. What are the three things? Number one, invite someone to sit with you on your pew every Sunday. You know, the average person comes in contact with 183 people in a given week. I thought that was a high number when I first read it, but then I started thinking about it and counting people up. You know, unless you stay at home all week, you're out working or you're going to school or you're involved in things, you're probably going to meet 100 people in a week. Will all 100 of those accept the invitation from you to come Sunday? No. But will all 100 of them say no? Probably not. So we have the contacts if we're bold enough to ask. And you know what a no is? A no means not yet. That's all it means. Because there are people, I read about a lady who lived next door to a Christian. She had invited her to come, She'd always say no. She a long time wouldn't come. Finally, she surprised her and said, okay. So she went and she started going and she was baptized. When she came up out of the water, her friend hugged her, her neighbor hugged her, and the new convert said, did you know you invited me 36 times? She wasn't keeping up, but her friend was. So no just means not yet. Number two, so, okay, before I leave that though, if every member of the church invites somebody before Sunday to sit, is there any room on your pew on Sundays usually? Yeah. Well, you got any room in your car when you come? It's like, yeah, my back seat's empty. Okay, put somebody in your back seat and let them sit on your pew with you. Isn't that pretty simple? And what will they do when they're sitting there? Well, they will hear a good sermon, but more than that, they're going to observe how New Testament worship is done. All right, I got to go. Number two, offer God enthusiastic worship. You bring your friend to worship, and it's a snore fest. I mean, the preacher's not really into his lesson, hasn't prepared very well. Singing song service is like, a lot of people aren't singing. The ones that are singing, they're not putting a lot of effort. Is your friend going to want to come back? You see, that's on us. Because they're used, some of them are used to going to the denomination church that has a band. And this seems boring. Is it boring? It is not. If we do what God said do with enthusiasm, it is an impressive service for God. But if you've got people that are engaged in the lesson, amen, they're writing notes in the class, they're speaking up, making a comment, and your friend's sitting there thinking, wow, these people really get into church. Are they going to want to come back? Probably. So make your worship enthusiastic. The third indispensable for the church to grow is have 2 or 5 people who study the Bible with somebody every week. You don't have to have everybody doing it. If you're a small church, just 2. We just had 15 hands that went up, or thereabout. If 2 people in the congregations that were represented by those hands will make a commitment to study the Bible with somebody 1 night a week, every week, the church will grow. Because that's how you have baptisms, is studies. How do you get studies? Prospects. So you go from contacts to prospects to studies to baptisms to church growth. That's how it worked in the New Testament. That's how it works now. But it takes commitment and dedication. But that's doable. 2 Bible studies a week by a whole church is doable. And the church will begin to grow. All right. That's all I have time to say tonight. And I said we would get out before 9, so I got to quit right now. Thank you for coming tonight. And I am so impressed with how many people stayed for the second session. Thank you for staying and being a part of this series. That's an encouragement, not only to me, but to the others in here. Thank you for being a part of this tonight.